Hello, my name's Dave Emery. In this segment, we're going to continue our examination of Jörg Haider of the Austrian Freedom Party, one of the most powerful and most quickly rising figures on the Austrian political scene. Jörg Haider has been termed by many the yuppie fascist, a term some might suggest is redundant. And in this segment, we're going to compare the political agenda of Jörg Haider with the political agendas of American reactionaries. I'm not suggesting that they are identical in any way. There are certainly features of the American political reactionary scene that are not featured in Jörg Haider's agenda. Yet I think in many ways the themes of Jörg Haider's Austrian fascism are very similar to the themes of American reaction as well. And again, for those people who might be somewhat impatient with my continuing examination of European fascism, never fear, suffice it to say, we will be swinging back to the other side of the Atlantic and taking a look at the development of American fascism as well, because fascism is alive and well and growing in the United States. And I am engaging in this particular series about Jörg Haider by way of at least partially illustrating the similarity between Eurofascism and reaction here in the United States. Jörg Haider recently experienced a very slight downturn in his success at the polls. He polled 22.3% of the Austrian vote in the December elections. That was down slightly from the 22.6% he had polled previously. This did not permit Jörg Haider to become part of an Austrian coalition government. Nonetheless, considering that shortly before the election, Jörg Haider was shown addressing in rather sympathetic fashion a gathering of Waffen-SS veterans, the 22.3% that he did garner should be viewed with considerable alarm by people of democratic instinct. In our last segment, we noted, first of all, that Jörg Haider's Freedom Party grew directly out of a political party that was formed by veterans of the Nazi Party in Austria during the Hitler period. That party was formed in 1949, and as such, Jörg Haider represents a direct link between the fascism of the past and the fascism of the present. We also took a look at the fact that one of the people in attendance at this meeting of Waffen-SS veterans was Heinrich Himmler's daughter, Gudrun Burwitz, who in turn has been very active in a post-war Nazi aid organization called Stille Hilfe, or Silent Help, that aids veterans of the Third Reich escape the Allies. She apparently is, or as of 1990, was still active in that particular organization. What we're going to do in this section, as I said, is to compare the political agenda of Jörg Haider with that of some American reactionaries. We're going to begin by repeating a short article with which I began the last segment from the San Jose Mercury News of Sunday, December 17th of 1995. In the World News in Brief section from the Mercury News Wire Services, we find the following entitled, Haider to Farewell at Austria Polls. Jörg Haider says he's a reformer, Austria's Newt Gingrich. He even campaigned on a, quote, contract with Austria, unquote. But opponents point to his anti-foreigner stance and compare him to neo-Nazis. In parliamentary elections today, Haider's Freedom Party, which wants to close Austria's border to immigrants, is expected to do better than ever, although finishing no higher than third place. So note again that Haider has called his program the Contract with Austria and has very consciously compared himself with Newt Gingrich. At least one American analyst sees nothing alarming in Jörg Haider. It is not surprising to see American political scientists missing the boat with regard to fascists. Indeed, this particular American political scientist was a veteran of President Kennedy's administration, and he doesn't seem to have had a great deal to say about President Kennedy's assassination. So one should take what I'm about to read with a grain of salt. From an article that we read last time, namely from the San Francisco Chronicle of Monday, December 11th of 1995, we find the following. It's by Eric Geiger of the Chronicle Foreign Service, Dateline, Vienna, headlined, Austrian Populists Echoes of Hitler. I read most of this article last time. I'm not going to repeat it. Suffice it to say that the last few paragraphs read as follows. American historian Arthur Schlesinger spent several hours earlier this year with Haider, who was promoting his book, The Freedom I Mean in the United States. Schlesinger was later quoted in an Austrian magazine as telling the book's publisher that Haider was harmless. Quote, that's supposed to be a Nazi? He's a political rock star, unquote. Not the most savvy analysis there by Arthur Schlesinger. Then again, American liberals have long missed the boat with regard to fascism, and an awful lot of American liberals continue to fail to recognize the danger of fascism here in the United States. we're going to examine some of the similarities between Jörg Haider's political agenda and that of American reactionaries, including Newt Gingrich. Bear in mind that Jörg Haider's political party grew directly out of the German Nazi Party under Hitler, or at least the Austrian branch of same. And bear in mind his kindly remarks to a meeting of Waffen-SS veterans, that meeting attended not only by Heinrich Himmler's daughter, but also by the Austrian defense minister, who also had comments that certainly did not outrage the Waffen-SS veterans present. We're going to take a look now at some information from the Searchlight magazine. The Searchlight is a British anti-fascist publication. You can subscribe to that as follows.
To subscribe to the Searchlight, a British anti-fascist publication, write to Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, or phone 011-4471-284 4040 or fax 011-4471-284-4410. That's the Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, phone 011-4471-284-4040 or fax at 011-4471-284-4410.
That again for information about how to subscribe to the Searchlight. We're going to turn next to the Searchlight's issue of December of 1995. That's Searchlight number 246. In the Searchlight on the World section, we find the following about Jörg Haider. This article is entitled, Support Grows for Foster Father of Rightist Terror, that last phrase in quotes. Skipping down in the article, we read, The past 9 years have seen Haider's spectacular ascent to a position of a sinister shadow in Austrian politics, to the extent that no major decision can be made without calculating either his reaction or how he will manipulate the situation. The effect has been to push the center of Austrian politics far to the right, a process assisted since November of 1993 by four waves of fascist letter bombs aimed at stampeding the authorities toward the adoption of strong state curbs on democratic rights. By the way, we'll be going into that bomb campaign later on in this series. Continuing. Haider gained prominence 7 years before the bombs, but can be accurately described, as the Vienna Supreme Court recently put it, as the, quote, foster father of rightist terror, unquote. Without the electoral base that he has built up from a marginal 9.7% in 1986 to 22.6% last year, the bombing campaign would have been unlikely. In Austria today, terror is not an index of weakness, but is rather a measure of Haider's success in rooting his extreme right ideas in the wider population. A graphic indication of the current climate and of Haider's populist appeal is the fact that, among his more usual campaigning themes, such as immigration and law and order, he has chosen to include a traditional fascist approach to cultural questions. Haider's party has plastered posters all over Vienna, but above all in the old working-class districts, aimed at appealing to anti-artistic, anti-cultural prejudices. Listing the names of dramatists, theater directors, and the Austrian Minister of Culture, Rudolf Schulten, as hate objects, the posters demand, quote, artistic freedom instead of socialist state artists, unquote. The message is made even more piquant by its appeal to anti-Semitic sentiments through the inclusion of the name of the Jewish theater director, Klaus Peymann, P-E-Y-M-A-N-N. Haider's efforts, nobly assisted by the tabloid daily Kronen Zeitung, to harness anti-intellectualism and hostility to culture, are already hitting the mark and stem from his long-declared intention to combat what he has termed, quote, the progressive decadence of Western societies, unquote. In fact, they are strongly reminiscent of the Nazis' crusades against so-called, quote, decadent art, unquote. This was clear from Haider's recent speech in which he accused those listed on the posters as, quote, the leftist cultural chic who currently terrorize us all, unquote. In the anti-artist and anti-quote leftist cultural chic unquote rhetoric of Jörg Haider, I think it is not unfair to see a similarity to some of the rhetoric of the American right as well. People like Newt Gingrich and Jesse Helms have campaigned against the Clintons, for example, as, quote, counterculture McGovernicks, to use Newt Gingrich's words. And beyond that, the Republican Party, Jesse Helms and others, have been very active in attempting to scapegoat, for example, the National Endowment for the Arts, and various Hollywood bigwigs as not only indicative of America's, quote, decadence, unquote, but as perhaps producing that very same decadence. Now, again, I'm not in any way suggesting that these parallels are exact. However, I think there are some important and very dangerous similarities between the reactionary political agenda of Jörg Haider, the yuppie fascist, and the American far right as well. I think Jörg Haider is referring to his agenda as the contract with Austria, and comparing his political agenda with that of Newt Gingrich is altogether accurate. So again, note the scapegoating of artists and cultural figures as responsible for Austria's decadence. That is in many ways, I think, similar to some of the themes being sounded on the American far right as well. Still more about Jörg Haider's political agenda is to be found in the Searchlight magazine's issue of January of 1996. More about Jörg Haider and his political agenda is to be found, once again, in the Searchlight on the World section. By the way, the Searchlight is not to be confused with the American Spotlight, a publication with a similar name, but a dramatically different political agenda. In the Searchlight on the World's Austria section from their European correspondent, we find the following entitled Haider's Cultural Revolution. It reads, if Jörg Haider, leader of Europe's strongest right-wing extremist party, the Austrian Freedom Movement, succeeds in becoming the dominant element in the Austrian government after the general election on December 17th, he will gain the opportunity to carry out the policies he has advocated for many years. He has never hidden or made a secret of what he stands for. Because of this, Austrians who vote for him cannot use the excuse that they did not know what they were voting for. If Haider enters the government from a position of strength, he is likely to follow a double strategy. In the foreground, a few, quote, reasonable, unquote, and plausible economic and social measures. Behind them, a brutal campaign to silence opposition, which he loves to brand as, quote, radical, unquote. That last term, of course, is something that Jörg Haider has in common with American reactionaries, including Newt Gingrich. Continuing, the economic measures, which he set out on June 16, 1993, will include tax cuts for those, quote, who want to work and achieve, unquote, quote, the end of certain social welfare provisions, unquote, reduction of paid holidays, unquote, cuts in unemployment benefits, unquote, and, quote, a meaningful lifting of the burden on management, unquote. Haider also argues for, quote, orderly employment policies, unquote, and suggests that these and his planned tax cuts should be financed by deficit budgeting and protectionist import controls on products from countries with low-wage economies. The economic policies of national retrenchment, however, are only the icing on the cake. Let's stop here and take a look at some of the economic policies of Jörg Haider. And again, I'm not suggesting this is a perfect analogy, but I think there are some distinct and obvious similarities between Jörg Haider's economic agenda and that of Newt Gingrich and company as well. Again, note the attacking of the, well, quote, welfare state, unquote, cutting unemployment benefits. In other words, cutting the Austrian social net and doing so in order to streamline and supposedly boost the Austrian economy. Note, of course, that Jörg Haider plans tax cuts and protectionist import controls on products. Some of these, at least, are very similar to Newt Gingrich and the contract on America. Gingrich also is planning, at least ostensibly, to revive the American economy by cutting social benefits and has been scapegoating those social benefits as responsible for America's economic problems, which they are not. And again, I think that is similar, though not necessarily identical, to the economic agenda of Jörg Haider. Continuing, about Haider, the Searchlight says, his long-term aims are political ones aimed at the elimination of opposition. On October 5, 1994, Haider made a speech in which he set out his objectives. Quote, I want to get rid of the social democratic conservative gravy train. These people must be radically forced out of Austrian politics. Unquote. The means available to him could include show trials of mainstream politicians on charges of, quote, squandering the property of the people, unquote, or his government could let loose its sympathizers in the Austrian state apparatus, especially the police and tax authorities, to criminalize political enemies. Haider has mused publicly over such policies on numerous occasions and has even named his potential victims. The critical media, long a target for Haider's hatred, could also be curbed. By the way, attacking the media is, of course, something that American reactionaries, including Newt Gingrich, have long done as well. I would also note that portraying the political opposition as corrupt and holding show trials, or in the case of the United States, hearings, is also something that American Reaction and Jörg Haider have in common. I would note, as I speak in mid-January of 1996, that Hillary Clinton, not an individual I have a particularly high regard for, but not as someone who is the demon she is being portrayed as being, is getting raked over the coals in the media over the Whitewater alleged scandal. Please note the term alleged. Although it is quite possible that Hillary Clinton bent some rules and cut some corners. She certainly didn't do anything illegal, and indeed, I don't think she did anything particularly remarkable in connection with Whitewater. If ever there was a tempest in a teapot and an attempt at making a mountain out of a molehill, it is the Whitewater hearings. Again, I think the Gingrich, D'Amato, Helms, Republican Party tactic of attempting to demonize a relatively benign political opposition and to tar it with the onus of corruption is similar to Jörg Haider's agenda as well. Indeed, it is certainly original, if nothing else, to see the Republican Party corrupt to its very marrow, a party which is literally built on a foundation of fascism, organized political murder, support for some of the very terrorist regimes that we are supposed to be opposed to, and drug trafficking, for that institution, the Republican Party of the United States, to be pointing a finger at the Clintons as corrupt is, well, it certainly is original, if nothing else. The Republican Party is the last institution on this earth to be pointing a finger at anything or anybody else as corrupt. That party, again, is corrupt to the very marrow. More about Newt Gingrich and his political agenda. The critical media, and I'm going to overlap with the last segment we've read here. The critical media, long a target for Haider's hatred, could also be curbed. As Haider said on January 26, 1993, quote, "If I want to say anything, it is that in the future I'll make sure editors don't tell so many lies," unquote. The cultural world would face the hammer because Haider has promised to, quote, purge, unquote, the artistic world, and elevate those who stand for a German, quote, people's community, unquote, to positions of importance. Should anybody dare criticize a Haider government abroad, Haider has already hinted at the consequences, quote, "It is political and moral treason when a person damages the reputation of his country abroad," unquote. By the way, note the Republican right's habit of castigating the news media. Newt Gingrich, in particular, lashes out at the news media anytime they have anything critical to say about him. So I think that the anti-media stance of Haider and that of the Republican right and Newt Gingrich is yet another similarity between the two political agendas. Continuing. Finally, Haider signaled on June 17, 1991, that he would, quote, "mobilize nationally," unquote, aggressive demonstrations in support of his policies with the object of intimidating those who disagree with him. Popular economic policies, coupled with repressive measures to gag opposition, would only be a preamble to the introduction of a program to install, quote, "a social Volksgemeinschaft," unquote, which Haider outlined in the right-wing extremist paper Aula, A-U-L-A, 10 years ago. In pursuit of a national concentration, trade unions would be destroyed, the number of foreign workers drastically reduced, and the children of migrants subjected to racist apartheid by being forced to attend separate schools, irrespective of their knowledge of the German language. I would note again that the American right wing, in particular Pete Wilson here in the United States, as well as the Republican Party in Newt Gingrich, have been making quite a bit of political headway with their anti-immigrant stance as well. Indeed, anti-immigrant sentiment and the exploitation of same by the far right is something that many European fascist parties and reactionary parties have in common with the Republican Party and the American right as well. Note the importance of the scapegoating of immigrants for Austria's political and economic problems. That is something that large elements of the American right, including Pete Wilson here in California, and also Newt Gingrich in the Republican Party of the United States, to a somewhat lesser extent, have in common. Continuing with the Searchlight article from January of 1996. "Women and youth will have nothing to look forward to from a Haider regime. The would-be dictator of Austria has pledged himself to destroy feminist illusions and dismantle official anti-fascism. The virulent anti-feminist sentiment of the Republican Party and Newt Gingrich is a matter of public record, so the anti-feminist stance of Haider is yet another element of commonality between Haider's fascism and the political reaction of Newt Gingrich and the Contract on America. Continuing, according to Haider's plan, women will be forced out of professions and back into the kitchen by tax measures, while young people, quote, will no longer have their brains stuffed with anti-fascist prattle, unquote, as Haider explained in his book, Die Freiheit, die ich meine, The Freedom That I Mean, in 1994. At the same time, it is likely that he would introduce educational programs projecting a more positive picture of Hitler fascism. Interrupting in light of his comments to the gathering of Waffen-SS veterans, I think that is altogether possible. Perhaps the most difficult aspect of Haider's program is to gauge exactly what he means by his longed-for, quote, Third Republic, unquote. At the very least, the police and army would be integrated into one force, and the directly elected president, presumably Haider, would assume the powers of the prime minister and form a government with fewer ministers. Power would be vested in a parliament that could be pressured by referenda and manipulated opinion polls, which would have primacy. Of course, what the people want would be heavily influenced by Haider's demagogic talents and control over the media. In any event, Haider in power would pursue his hate objects with the state apparatus at his disposal. His policy would be one of permanent conflict until he had achieved his aims. As he has already made crystal clear in his book, quote, our intention is somewhat more than a mere change of government or reversal of mistakes. We want to bring about an Austrian cultural revolution by democratic means. We want to overthrow the ruling political and intellectual classes, unquote. Then, according to Haider, quote, representative democracy will be antiquated, unquote. That a direct quote from Haider's book. I think that last quote indicates just how far off the mark and just how silly and deluded American historian Arthur Schlesinger's comments were when he said, that's supposed to be a Nazi? He's a political rock star, unquote. That is no rock star. So again, note that although, I'm not suggesting that the political agendas of Jörg Haider and Newt Gingrich are identical, I think they are similar. I think those similarities are altogether significant, and I think that bodes very, very poorly for the United States. During the course of these segments, I have made reference to the archive shows. Those are a form of radio documentary that I've put together over the years in which the printed sources upon which my lines of argument are based are read on the air, just as I read sources on the air in these segments. All of those archive shows are on permanent file with a tape duplication service. That duplication service is called Archives on Audio. They are located at P.O. Box 170023, Box 170023. That's in San Francisco. Zip code 94117, 94117-0023. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840, 415-346-1840. Again, neither myself nor this station gets money out of this arrangement. There's also a 20-page catalog available which lists all of the archive shows, gives a synoptic description of each program, and cross-references the broadcasts with other programs containing similar or related material. Those of you who have access to the World Wide Web can access the webpage of KFJC-FM. That's the radio station in the South San Francisco Bay Area at which I record these programs. KFJC does have its own webpage, and on the webpage there is an Archives on Audio section which has the complete Archives on Audio catalog, a suggested reading list, and other sources that we recommend for further study in this area of research. Those of you who have access to the World Wide Web can access the KFJC webpage and the Archives on Audio catalog and reading list at the following. These are all lowercase letters. http://www.cygnus.com/kfjc.html. Once again, in lowercase letters, http://www.cygnus.com/kfjc.html. And again, those are all lowercase letters. Those of you who are pursuing book titles in this area of research, namely the Intelligence Community and International Fascism, can contact the following book search service in order to obtain titles.
You can contact the Antifa Book Service at 945 Terravel Street, number 117, San Francisco, California, 94116. They specialize in books about fascism, the intelligence community, and clandestine power politics. Neither Dave Emery nor KFJC gets money from this arrangement. Again, that's ANTIFA Book Service, located at 945 Terravel Street, number 117, San Francisco, California, 94116.
That again for information concerning Antifa Book Search Service. That concludes this segment. In our next segment, we're going to examine the bombing campaign in Austria that many feel was, to a certain extent at least, produced by the ascension of Jörg Haider, and which in turn has contributed to his political success in the eyes of many. And again, in later segments, we're going to be comparing the terror bombings that have been taking place in the United States, such as Oklahoma City, with the terror bombings in Austria, and we will continue our comparison of Austrian and European fascism with political reaction and fascism here in the United States. That, however, will come in later segments. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.